And we are on the phone with David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital. Dave, good morning to you.
Morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I know I want to get to talk a little bit about the vaccines that you got last week, but I guess let's start off with our weekly update as to far as where we are, as far as, you know, cases in the hospital and cases here in the county.
Yeah, today we have 10 patients in the hospital that are COVID positive, two of them in the ICU. So it's a little uptick. Last week we got down to 6, so a few more have come in. I mean, the good news is we haven't had any new deaths from that, so that's a good thing. From the outpatient side, you know, we put Friday, Saturday, and Sunday together, and we did 243 tests, and 9 were positive. The good news there is that on Saturday we only had 1 positive, and yesterday we didn't have any positives. So
that's good.
It's good to have a day of 0 again. And again, those are just tests that we run here. There's other organizations in the community that run tests that, you know, if you looked at the data from Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, it might have more than that. But for us, we didn't have any positives yesterday, so that's a good thing.
Where does that put our total for the year in the county? Do you know, have that number? Or?
Yeah, well, as of Saturday, so this wouldn't include Sunday. Actually, wouldn't include Saturday or Sunday. So this is as of Friday. We had 1,205 cases. If you looked at that on 12, that was on 12/19. If I went back to 12/12 a week ago, we had 1,087. So for the week, we had about 118 new cases, which isn't bad. Comparatively speaking, you know, the week before we had about 170. So it is, you know, you see the trend, and in most places in Michigan, you see the trend going down a little bit, which again is a good thing, and that's I'm sure why Friday, you know, the MDHHS relaxed a little bit some of the rules.
That was kind of a surprise. I was figuring, oh, here we go. We're going to, you know, get a few more restrictions there. But
right. And, you know, I mean, when you look at it and you look at the data, since those new restrictions went in, I think it was just before Thanksgiving or whatever, we have seen the number of cases go down. So you can make it an argument, I guess, for a lot of things, but, you know, one of them would have to be, well, maybe the restrictions worked. I hate to see that restaurants aren't open and, you know, all those kind of things. But at the same time, you know, we're getting a lot of information on the vaccine, and, you know, there's a lot of myths out there, and I know I was reading an article from Mayo Clinic, you know, that they're distributing to their patients, and I would think that most people in our country would think Mayo Clinic is one of the highest regarded health systems in the country. And you know, one of the things they talk about in there was the myth of why people shouldn't get vaccinated, because only 1 or 2% of the people die. Or 1 or 2% of the people will die from complications of the vaccine, which is not true. And then they go on to state that, yes, the COVID death rate is 1 to 2%. And so, you know, some people are saying, well, I'm willing to take the chance that I have a 98 or 99% survival if I get COVID. But what they also put in there is that COVID is 10 times deadlier than the regular flu, and that's the first time I've seen that, you know, that their studies show that, yes, only 1%, maybe 2% of the people that get COVID will die, but that's 10 times more deaths than what the regular flu would provide. So, you know, it's a dangerous disease that doesn't impact everybody the same way, but you are 10 times more likely to die from COVID than you would be flu A or flu B.
We're talking to David John, CEO of War Memorial Hospital. Dave, I heard in the news this morning they were talking about a new strain that's been identified of the coronavirus. Did you hear about that? And if so, you know anything about it? Or
yeah, I don't know anything officially about it, but I've read there's a new strain over in Europe, and actually the article I read was on South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And this strain seems to impact younger people much more severely. It's not showing any larger impact on older people, but what they're seeing is 21 to 35 year olds. Some of them that get this new strain are getting very, very sick and require hospitalization. And the article was about in the southern hemisphere right now. It's summer, or they're just getting into summer, and graduation and all that other stuff for their high schools, and mm-hmm. there was these big parties they have for graduation, and they saw a significant spread because of that, and a lot of these younger people are getting pretty sick.
How common is it for illness like that to come up, to mutate, or I guess for lack of a better term, and show another strain? Is that fairly common, or is that just unique to this?
No, it's common, all coronavirus. And, the coronavirus has been around for a long, long time.
Right.
I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, that's, it's basically the common cold, the flu, what have you. And, every year, they have to develop a new flu vaccine for the regular flu because, it mutates. There's different strains, and to some degree, it's kind of guesswork. To some degree, it's science. But when they put that new vaccine together, they try to hit the new viruses so that it's effective. And each year, the flu vaccine, regular flu vaccine, is effective to a certain degree. Some years it's really effective. Other years, not quite as effective. But the coronavirus mutates all the time.
Before we get into the vaccines and you're giving us the numbers, I know you said that we haven't had any new deaths. Just where are we at total deaths in Chippewa County with the coronavirus, the COVID-19?
The last thing I saw was 11.
Okay.
I think five of those people have actually died at War Memorial Hospital. So I would say the other six are probably, how they count a COVID death is anybody who died that had been positive for COVID in the last 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could, if you had the virus and then 2 weeks later you went out and got in a serious car accident and died, it would still be counted as a COVID death. So,
okay.
But the ones that officially have passed away at War Memorial are five.
Okay. So it was exciting last week. You've been talking about it for a few weeks here in our weekly conversations that, the vaccines were on their way. They finally arrived at the hospital Thursday, I think it was. And I know that I saw on Facebook that some people already have gotten the vaccines. Is that true? And what's the plan for it for the rest of the staff?
Yes, that is true. We vaccinated our ER staff first. That was Friday. There were a few others that were vaccinated. It really starts in earnest today in our occupational health department. So they have a full schedule. I think it's four people every 10 minutes, something like that. So we'll probably do about maybe 60 or 70 today, somewhere in that area. We have our OC health department booked out for the next 2 weeks to give the vaccines to our staff. So they're happening, and so far I can tell you that there aren't any complications, or we haven't had anybody call in sick yet, because there is the possibility you can get minor complications. So your arm's going to be sore, you might feel tired, might have a headache, you might get a low-grade fever, We haven't had any of that yet, but from what I'm reading, it's really most of those symptoms happen after the second vaccine, 21 days later. So we're getting through that. We don't know how many of the 975 vaccinations we will actually have left over, but we're trying to put together a plan that if we do have some left over, that we can get it to other critical healthcare infrastructure workers, like EMS personnel, other people like that. At the same time, the Moderna vaccine was, I think, approved over the weekend, and mm-hmm. I believe the health department will be getting the Moderna vaccination. And the original plan is with our doses, we're supposed to vaccinate all of our employees, and it's the health department's responsibility to vaccinate all the other critical healthcare workers in our community, and then after that, the essential workers. So, mm-hmm. even though we got the vaccine first, we're not going to have any more vaccine to provide to the community. That will be the health department or the local pharmacies once there's enough supply of the vaccine to get it out. So we'll have all our people vaccinated that want to get vaccinated. But we won't be the organization that does it for our community.
Will you be now? Will some of the vaccines that you have, will those be strictly for staff, or will you start maybe doing the patients in long-term care with that as well?
Well, the long-term care residents were supposed to be vaccinated by. There's two pharmacy chains that got approval to do the long-term care. That's CVS and Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
I think our long-term care is going to be using the CVS, so CVS pharmacy personnel from somewhere will come in and administer the vaccination.
Okay.
But at the same time, we're hearing that might not be for a few weeks, so we know we're probably going to have some extra vaccine, so we're working on a plan right now for us to take that extra vaccine and give it to any long-term care resident that wants it. You probably read in the news that Pfizer, once they started giving vaccines, has determined that in the five-dose vial there is actually a sixth dose.
Yeah,
in there.
I was going to bring that up, right?
And possibly even a seventh dose. But the only restriction is that you have to have a full dose in order for it to be effective. So they know there's a sixth dose in there, and some of them may even have enough for a seventh dose. So that's great because that means more vaccines, but it also creates a logistical nightmare in the fact that, okay, how do we know that the second shipment of the 975 doses is going to have the same amount in it?
Right.
Because if it doesn't, then you're short that second vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a record-keeping perspective, the state, when they sent it, there has to be a vaccination card filled out with each one. Well, they sent five cards for each vial. So what do we do with number six?
Mm-hmm.
What card do we fill out, and how do we get that information to the state and those type of things? So it's good that there's more vaccine, but it's not necessarily good that we have some logistical problems because of it. And if you look at it, we got 975 doses, so that means we got 195 vials. So if there truly is that sixth dose in every vial, we'll have an extra 195 doses to provide. And so again, that's a good thing, but we have to make sure that second round of vaccine comes in with the same amount of vaccine in each vial as the first. Otherwise, that creates a whole other issue.
Sure. Are you? I hate to put you on the spot, but are you planning on getting the vaccine?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There was the debate around the organization, because there was a lot of people worried about the safety of the vaccine, and the debate was, well, who should get the vaccine first? And mm-hmm. from our healthcare workers' perspective, we felt that ER docs and ER nurses and frontline nurses getting the vaccine first is going to be the best way to show that people are confident in the safety of the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
because if I were to get it first, then somebody might say out in the community, well, look at there, he's the CEO, and he's taking the vaccine first before all the nurses get it. Well, we didn't want that that perception out there. But once we get all of our nurses and all of our healthcare workers vaccinated, then I'll get the vaccination, and then hopefully that will help with showing the confidence and the safety of it for our community. Mm-hmm.
I know my wife who works for WAR, she's a nurse there, and she's got her schedule a week from today. She says she's got to be there at like 8:20 to get her shot and everything, and she's really, we talked about it last night, and she's not nervous about it. She's excited. She wants to get it done, you know. So
right, and again, you know, the vaccine is 95% effective.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't absolute guarantee that you're not going to get it, but there aren't. Well, they say the only guarantees in life are death and taxes.
Death and taxes, yeah, right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So nothing we do is absolutely guaranteed, but 95% is a pretty good percentage.
So we're coming up on Christmas, and I know when we talked before Thanksgiving, we were concerned, obviously, about, you know, people getting together and spreading and getting maybe of a surge after the holidays. Are you concerned about that again as we come up on Christmas and New Year's next week?
Yeah, we're always concerned. I mean, you know, the thing with Christmas is that, you know, people traveling and making sure that they still practice safely when they're with their families. If they're coming in from outside the area, you know, you still need the social distance. I see a lot of suggestions that still wear a mask, you know, when you're inside, because you're spending a lot of time, and you don't know whether somebody might have contracted the virus or not. You know, New Year's would have certainly been a big worry if all the bars were open.
Sure.
New Year's Eve, but you know, they're still worried because, you know, the casinos are open now, and I would bet that there'll be a few people that go to the casino on New Year's Eve. I don't think they're planning any big New Year's Eve celebration like normally, but it will attract some people. So main thing is, you know, practice safely, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, social distance from people, you know, wash your hands, wear that mask. I mean, if you do all those things, you reduce your chance of getting the virus by, I think, 75 or 80%. So that would be my advice. Just, hey, enjoy the time with your family, but even there, make sure you're safe.
And I kind of feel like we're beating a dead horse when we say that, but, I mean, I think we got to keep saying it because, again, you still see people out and about that maybe aren't wearing their masks, you know. So just a reminder that, you know, do all the things that we've been doing all year long, and you know, we'll get through this a lot quicker and a lot safer and with a lot less death and people getting sick.
Yeah, and, you know, the people who are out there, well, it's just like the regular flu. Well, you know, but it's 10 times more likely to cause you death than the regular flu.
Right.
So, you know, who wants to take that chance? And, most of the time you see people getting minor symptoms. There aren't a lot of major symptoms, but, boy, if you're the unlucky one to, you know, get that major symptom, it can be devastating to you and to your family.
Dave, I know we've talked, too, about the morale of the staff there at the hospital. You know, some of the staff, it's been a rough year. It's been a long year. And how are people doing? Are they hanging in there? And again, how's the public support? I know you've talked about, you know, the public supporting the healthcare workers who are on the front line and everything. How's that program going, and does that seem to be helping the folks there at the WAR?
Yeah, I definitely see a difference. I mean, back in the middle of November to the end of November, when, you know, things were really get difficult, and we had, I think, 23 patients in the hospital, and, you know, the nurses and respiratory therapists and aides and doctors weren't seeing an end to it. You know, it was pretty stressful and pretty fatiguing, but you know, then the groups got together with that community cares program, and we started to get thank you cards from just community members thanking our staff for all the hard work they're doing. And you know, you've definitely seen a difference. You know, they now see all that outpouring of appreciation and love from the community, and it's sort of like re-energized everybody. And obviously with lower numbers, that helps as well. Mm-hmm. But I definitely see a big difference in the morale and the outlook to the positive, and I have to credit our community and those people that took the time to participate, and thank not only our frontline workers, but frontline workers in EMS at the tribal health centers, you know, in the local pharmacies, you know, wherever there's people that are out there trying to serve your health care needs. Everybody's doing a great job and needs to be supported understand that they're essential for our community.
Absolutely. Hey, Dave, before we let you go, and I'll give you the a second to wrap up here in a bit, but one of the things we haven't done, just to shift a little bit, is we haven't really talked about, anything new happening at the hospital as far as, like, new doctors, new services, anything else like that. Any updates that you want to, that aren't COVID-related, that you want to give us about the things that are going on at War?
Yeah, we have... One new physician that started a couple weeks ago, actually two new physicians. One is a new pediatrician, Dr. Paulson, who is now has his open practice. And then a hospitalist, which is, you know, one of the internal medicine or family docs that take care of the patients when they're admitted to the hospital. It's Dr. Sharma. She started a few weeks ago. So that's going pretty good. We also were fortunate we had pushed a bill in the State House and the State Senate to allow Canadian physicians who are licensed and board certified in Canada to be able to get their Michigan license, and that just passed, and we're waiting for the governor to sign it. That'll be a big help to us. It used to be a law in Michigan, and then 10 years ago the legislation sunset and it wasn't renewed, and don't know why that happened, but we did get it back in with the help of Senator Schmidt and Representative Chatfield. And if the governor signs it this week, some of the physicians that are over in Canada that could come over and provide us at least some temporary coverage, because right now we have one orthopedic surgeon, so we need somebody to cover call because he can't be on call 24/7.
Sure.
You know, there's probably five or six orthopedic surgeons about 5 miles away that might be interested in coming over and working a weekend to give him a little break. So this will allow that to happen. So that's something good that happened as well. A lot of other physicians that practices that are relatively new that are continuing to grow, like Dr. Turfey, our ear, nose, and throat specialist, and he's been here about 3-4 months now, I guess. And Dr. Chander, Visnu Chander, is a hospitalist. He's been here since September. And, it's always nice to see a hometown boy go away and then come back and be a physician to serve his community.
Sure.
We have a few of those around. I don't want to forget anybody, but, Dr. Sarah Amor at OBGYN was born and raised in Sault Ste. Marie, attended Sault High and went off, got her physician credentials, and has come back here to serve her community. And like I said, Dr. Visnu Chander, I'm sure there's some other ones too, but those are always great stories, and to come home and serve their community is a great thing.
Absolutely, and Dr. Tetzloff's son is back, isn't he?
Yep. Dan Tetzloff, he's back as well, Dr. Dan, and he's working at the Behavioral Health Center. And I know we're hoping there's a couple other local kids who are in the pipeline of getting their doctor's degree and their residency, and we're trying to recruit them to come back to Sault Ste. Marie as well, which would be nice. It's never easy to recruit physicians, and we hope that we have success with them.
Awesome. Well, before we go, I just want to wish you Merry Christmas and everybody at the staff there at War Memorial Hospital, Merry Christmas. And, again, thanks to everything that you guys do for us, and keeping us safe and keeping us healthy and everything. Anything, I'll give you the last word here, Dave. Anything you want to add before we let you go for today?
No, I just Merry Christmas to you, your family, and all the members of our community. We've really done a good job together in this pandemic, and you know, every time I look at statistics from other areas, and we see how well we've actually done, and that's a credit to our community. Without our community's help, it could have overwhelmed our healthcare system, and we've seen little glimpses of what that would look like. But fortunately, we haven't had to deal with that in the long term. So I would just say thank you to our community, and wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a much better New Year for 2021.
Yeah, well, I hate to say it can't get worse, but I guess it could. But I mean, this year has been one for the record books, that's for sure, Dave. Well, we appreciate you spending the time with us each and every week, and we'll continue to do that as long as we need to. And again, enjoy the holidays, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Mark.